We're just using this kind of a springboard for what we're trying to bring to you. And I want to get started on another area of that tonight. Lord being our helper, do so. And Psalms 9, verse 7 and 8. Let's stand, please. But the Lord shall endure forever. And we've read that every time we started to preach on this subject of judgment. And that's an awesome thought. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. And that's another awesome thought. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. He's always right. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you tonight, God, for the privilege to read the Word of God. And thank you for the songs that have been sung. And now, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name you'd help us share the truths of thy word. And I pray the power of God to help us to think and be able to say what needs to be said and speak to hearts. And I pray conviction where needed, encouragement where it's needed, and a challenge where needed. Lord, you have your way. Magnify yourself and get glory. In Jesus' name, I plead the blood. Claim that victory in Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want you to turn with me in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. We are dealing with judgments. And as we started this series, we talked about judgment at Calvary, how that Jesus Christ was judged in our place, paid our price. And we talked about that judgment. And we'll never be judged a sinner if we're saved, because it's already happened, already been done at Calvary. And I praise God for that. And then we talked about judgment as sons of God, children of God. We are the children of God, sons of God, the Bible says. And as being sons of God, then that means that we his children, he corrects us and directs us and gives us instruction and helps us along the way. And sometimes has to get our attention. And we talked about that on last week. But tonight we're talking about the Bema Seat, judgment seat of Christ. And I realize tribulation, rapture must take place, and Jesus must come. And we realize that great truth and thinking about that. I want you to look with me, please, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Jesus said in Revelation 22, he said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. And so we believe that this judgment, well, judgment seat of Christ, Bema Seat, that Bema Seat was a place where the judge would be, whoever oversaw the athletic event of that day, maybe a race. It's a place where they would come and they would give them their reward of whatever that they had won, whether it be first place, second, third, whatever. And it may be something hung around their neck. It may have been something of a medal of some kind. But they would reward them in that. That's the thought behind the Bema Seat. And that's the word that is used for judgment seat. And is a place having to do with our performance. And not that anybody's trying to outperform anybody. But we are to perform according to our abilities and talents that God has given us for his glory and for his honor. And we'll talk about that just a little bit later. But reading out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll start at verse number 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now let's back up to chapter 2 just for a minute. In verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. There's a natural man, the man that's unsaved. He can't receive spiritual things because they're foolishness to him. He has to be born spiritually before you can receive spiritual things. And unsaved, the Holy Ghost can enlighten them to understand they're lost and need a Savior. But as far as getting into spiritual things of the Word of God, they're incapable of doing that because they're spiritually dead. And you were too before you got saved, and I was too. And so he's talking about that natural man. But then in chapter 3, he comes and talks about, he says spiritual, and then he says carnal. That word carnal means fleshly. It means of the flesh. And Brother Eddie Davis, Monday night, I believe Monday night, I listened to him preach, and he was talking about the fact that this old nature, talking about Simon Peter, and he mentioned when he signed his last book, Simon Peter, still had the flesh and the name that Jesus gave him, but old person, new person. And we're new on the inside, old on the outside. And we still have that conflict in the flesh and spirit, but carnal has to do with feeding the flesh, the outside. And so he said, I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual. Spiritual is that one that's saved and letting God have his way, dying out to self, dying to flesh. Carnal is that one living according to the flesh. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you are not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For once, let me pause there just a minute. And the envy and strife and all that kind of stuff that goes on and our lives. And we need to understand us being spiritual and coming to church to worship God. We come to worship God, hear from heaven, hear what God has to say. And when the man of God preaches and he happens to hold your row of corn, you don't get aggravated at him. You may get aggravated at him, but you ought not get aggravated at him. Let's put it that way. Amen. And again, an illustration that we heard, I liked real well. Some people think that when you get saved, it's in bondage, you know, because you have certain standards you try to live by and try to go by. And Brother Eddie made the statement. He said, who was free, the people outside the ark or the one confined in the ark when the flood came? Who was really free? Those outside running around doing what they wanted to do? It was those inside the confines of that ark that was really free. I like that. That stuck in my heart. I say, hallelujah, praise God. There's some guidelines by the word of God that we need to go by. Amen. He has something to say about how we look, how we act, what we do, how we treat each other. And how. Amen. Good preaching. And we need that kind, amen, to help us, else we go too far the other direction. Because we need to set the right example for the world to see. And that's all they see. Somebody said, well, Jesus looks on the heart. He does, but the world sees the outside. Amen. Amen. My brother one time told me when I was dating, age, whatever, said, beauty's only sin deep. I said, that's as far as I can see. He laughed. Always laughing at one either me. But anyway. No, I'm kidding. But he did say it. But really, we only see each other. I mean, outside's all you do see, you know. And that's the way that it is. And God has some God. But carnal, we're talking about carnal-minded now. And then he went on and said this, and this will be good for us. For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? One said, well, I want him to preach, and I want that to preach. He said, you're carnal. And who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Hallelujah. God gave the increase. And we never saved anybody. No other preachers ever saved anybody, just God. So then, here's a verse that really hits all of us preachers. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. Said one's doing the watering and the sowing, the preaching, they're not anything. But said God that giveth the increase, he's the one to be glorified. He's the one to be lifted up. He's the one to be magnified. Amen. It's all him. And I like it. Amen. Praise God and the Lamb. But God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. That is, we're all laboring together. Every man shall receive his own, and notice that, own reward, according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are, that's a great statement also, awesome statement. For we are laborers together with God. Not just laboring for God, but with God. In the same field with him. I say hallelujah. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Another buildeth thereon. But let him, every man, take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work shall abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, having read all those verses and talking about the natural, spiritual, and the carnal man, and the natural man unsaved, spiritual man's a man living for God, endeavoring to do what God wants him to do, trying to follow the guidelines of the Word of God, trying to please God, being a witness, testimony of the Lord Jesus, being faithful in the things of God. The carnal man's that one that's living after the flesh. He's more concerned about what the flesh wants than he is about what God wants. He's one of those kind that would say, well, I don't quite see that, you know, that way, but the Bible makes it plain that's the way it is. And so we have that to deal with. But what he's really driving at is the fact that someday, that where we're all laborers together, we're laborers in God's vineyard. Now, he's talking about saved people. Notice in verse 1, he said, "Now, brethren," and they're brethren, they're all saved. The carnal person is just as saved as a spiritual man is. If he's, and that's what he's talking about in this verse, these verses, is saved people. And they just as saved going to the same heaven, but they're not going to get the same rewards when they get there. And heaven, I believe heaven will be heaven no matter what, but I still believe that there are going to be some time at the judgment seat of Christ that's going to be a sobering thought. I'll be honest with you, and thinking about the judgment seat of Christ, meeting Christ, and giving account to him for my labors, I don't take that too lightly. And fact is, I tremble at the thought of it, because I'm going to have to meet him that loved me enough to die for me. And he has asked me to labor in his vineyard with him, and that my faithfulness of that laboring. Look in chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians verse 2. Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. And so he talking about faithfulness and laboring together. He's saying that we are, whatever we're doing, preaching and sowing the seed, watering. He said, whatever you're doing, you're not anything compared to what Jesus Christ is. You don't get any of the glory. He gets the glory. And I believe if we get the glory down here, he doesn't get the glory he deserves. It's all right to say somebody did a good job or encourage them along the way. Fact is, preachers need encouragement along the way. I'm not fishing for anything either. I'm just telling you, they need encouragement along the way. Christians need encouragement along the way. And once in a while, you need to come in and tell somebody you appreciate them and that kind of thing. But remember, it is God that gets all the glory. Man can only do so much. Man has limited in his ability to do. But God is unlimited, and he is able to do anything and everything that needs to be done. And all my labors, or your labors, and everything this church has ever accomplished, it's been because of God. It's been because God did it. And to God be the glory. Amen. And may we ever remember the fact that it is God that gets glory and honor and praise. If he doesn't, we've missed what God has said in these verses. But he's getting us ready to tell us about the judgment seat, at Bema seat. And he's trying to get ready and mention these clashes of people and sharing about the carnality. And so if carnality's in the way, you'll never labor in the field like you ought to labor in the field. You'll never serve God right as long as you're living in the carnal mind. And because you'll be so worldly minded that you can't get your mind on the things that God would have you to do. And may God help all of us. Amen. We all have some problems with that from time to time. Fact is, most of us have some problem with it most of the time. It gets in the way because we're flesh. Amen. We have that flesh to deal with. And that's why Paul said, I die daily, because he had to deal with it all the time. And so now I'm just going to review a little bit here and then the night, and then we'll try to pick up on this later. But look at verse number 10 and 11 of 1 Corinthians 3. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians 3. He said, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation of all that we do. He had better be the foundation of everything. If he's not the foundation, he'll never stand. You're building on sinking sand if it's not Jesus Christ. Let's look back in Isaiah chapter 28. Let me show you something. In Isaiah chapter number 28 and verse number 16. Isaiah 28 and verse number 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Boy, I like the way he puts it in that verse. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's prophesying of his coming. And say, I laid in Zion for a foundation of stone, a tried stone. He was tried and proven. He didn't know sin. He's a precious stone, and he's a sure foundation. And he that believeth shall not make haste. That is, he'll not waste away. He'll not fail in that. And we need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a foundation. Remember what Jesus said when he's talking to the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am? They rattled off a bunch of folk they said he was. But he said, whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, we believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed are thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed that unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And said, and thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And that, well, he wasn't saying he's building on Apostle Peter. He's saying he's building on his confession, that is, that Jesus Christ is the living Son of the living God, and that is a foundation of the church. That's a foundation of our lives. That is a sure foundation, a tried foundation, a precious foundation. It's a precious stone. It's been laid, and it's fine. He's fine, and you can build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ, and it'll never sink. It'll never go down. I praise God. I'm on the rock. Amen. And rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. And praise God for the reality of that truth that's in that song of being the foundation. And so we labor together in that. Wise builders. I want you to look with me in verse number 12, if you will, please. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone. Now, he's talking about gold and silver and precious stone. And comparing that with wood, hay, and stubble, he says in that same verse. And why does he put that in the verse? He's talking about our work. He's talking about when we face Jesus and come to face him. He said, every man's work shall be made manifest, for that day shall declare it, and it shall be revealed by fire, by fire. And said, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, you can have a lot of work, and it be the wrong sort. Is that not what he said? He said, I'm going to try your work, see what sort it is. And so there must be different sorts of work. I never had thought about trying to preach a message on the sorts, but I may try to do that. I preached against shorts, but never on sorts. And sorts is, what kind of work do you have? That is your work precious gold, precious stone, metal that will come through the fire. You can put gold in the fire, silver in the fire, precious stone in the fire, and it'll still be gold, precious stone. It'll still be silver. But you put wood in the fire, guess what happens to it? It burns up. It becomes ashes. And then hay will burn quicker than the wood will. Stubble will burn up even quicker than that will. And so I better think on those things, because it may be a message in that somewhere. And our work may be stubble, it may be hay, it may be wood, it may be gold or silver or precious stone. But our work, we're going to be tried in the fire, and whatever sort it is, it's going to be proven at the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is not going to be a picnic. It'll be a great time of rewards for those who have been faithful, those who have served God faithfully, those who have given God their lives. Now, it's not going to be a time that we're going to pay for sin. Sin was paid for at Calvary. Amen. Our sin has been taken care of. That debt has been paid in full. I'm glad. I want you to understand that. The blood takes away the sin. And day by day we confess sin, God forgives and cleanses. If we confess, he's faithful and just to forgive us. When he chastens us, it is to get our attention so we'll get away from the sin and that we might confess that and get it right. And he's going to deal with sin in this life. And it's dealt with at Calvary in your life individually, dealt with in this life. But at the judgment seat of Christ, he is dealing with works. He's dealing with what sort of work that it is, whether it be gold, silver, precious. Whether it be because you loved. You remember when Jesus was talking to the Apostle Peter in John chapter 21? He said, "Lovest thou me?" And he said, "Then feed my lambs." He said, "Lovest thou me?" And Simon Peter, and he said, "Thou knowest I love thee." He said, "Feed my sheep." And of course, they got different Greek words in there, philo and agape and so forth. He's working on brotherly love and God kind of love. But listen, I want you to know, he's asking Peter, "Do you love me? Do you really love me? Do you love me more than you love the other things of this world? Do you love me more than you love fishing?" He'd just been fishing and got out. And now Jesus asked him, "Do you love me more than all of these?" Hey, that's exactly why we ought to do what we do, is because we love Jesus. Amen. If we do anything for any other reason than the fact we love Jesus, let me rephrase that. First fact of what we're doing is loving Jesus. And it may be because we want to help somebody. It may be because we don't want them to go to hell. That's a good point. It may be because we care about their welfare in this life. That's okay. That's a good thing to think about. Helping others, being good to them. It's okay to think about your name, as long as you don't get proud of your name, but you want to maintain a good testimony. And I've been talking recently about testimonies, what kind of testimony we have. All that has its place and is well and good, but the reason why we ought to do what we do and witness and do everything that we do is because that we love the Lord Jesus Christ. That is his heart. That's why that he came into the world, was to seek and to save sinners. That's why he came. And so as we give to missions, it's not just so we can have a hallway back here with pictures of missionaries on it. It's not to look good when people come in and say, "Boy, look how many missionaries they have. And look what they're doing for missions." That is not the point. If that's why we do it, I wish we'd take every one of them down and put them somewhere else. We don't do it for that. We do it because of the fact we love Jesus. Amen. We want to get the gospel out, and we want you to read letters. We want you to see pictures and faces of missionaries and pray for them and get that in your mind and heart. Amen. Amen. It's because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. In loving him, I say hallelujah. I praise God. Reason why we ought to want to live right and look right and act right and spit right and everything else is because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He is our love. Amen. And I want to do those things pleasing unto him. And the more glory I can give to him, the better it is in my life. Amen. It's not how much I can just squeeze by with and get by with. It is how much can I do for him? How much can I magnify him? How much can I serve him? What can I give for him? What can I do for him when it comes time to take up an offering? It's not what can I get by with. It's what can I give for his glory and his honor. It is given out of a heart full of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's giving, it's what, teaching a class, it's playing a piano, it's singing a song, it's preaching a message, it's witnessing on the job, it's witnessing the neighbors, it's doing whatever we're doing, it's helping somebody that's in trouble, it's helping somebody that needs something. It's all for his glory and his honor. Amen. Amen. I don't know if I had it outlined that way, but that's the way it come out. Amen. Aren't you glad you're saved? And you get to serve Jesus. I'm glad, praise God, I get to serve him. I get to serve him, and I thank him and praise him for it. The Pharisees, they did what they did so they'd be seen of men. They prayed in public. They ring the bells. They get their attention so everybody can know they're praying. If that's the way you do your praying, your praying's no good. When we really pray, we just pray and talk to God. Don't make any difference who's around us. Don't make any difference whether they hear or don't hear us. It's praying. We'll get around the altar praying. And some folk don't understand altar praying. And some fellas said, "Well, I don't understand what you're saying." Other fellas said, "Well, I wasn't talking to you." Amen. And we weren't speaking in tongues, just everybody praying at one time. But we're praying to God, and he hears people all over the world at the same time. He don't have a bit of problem hearing me when I'm praying up here and you're praying down here. He don't have any problem knowing what you're saying, what I'm saying, anybody else, anywhere else is saying. It's all him. Amen. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, just want to say thank you for the privilege to read the Word of God, the privilege to think about that day that we'll meet you. But yet the seriousness and that it is that we'll someday give an account to you for our work, our labor. And Father, I realize that there have been times our labor has not been because we loved you, but because we felt like we had to. Help us, Lord, in all of our labors, realize that we're yoked with you in your vineyard, in your field, to do your work. And Father, without you, we can do nothing. I praise you and thank you for the truths that you give us in thy word. Help us apply them in our lives, in Jesus' name. Get your bowed eyes closed, stand your feet, please.